don't you pray with me, please? Father, we know that you are here among us. And we just want to tell you that we love you. We thank you, Lord, for loving us the way that you do, so patiently, so kind, so gentle. Even when we are rebellious and want to go our own way, you are so patient. We thank you for this wonderful love that we have. Now, Lord, as we dig into your word, we pray that you would let your spirit speak to us, and may we grasp it, understand it, apply it, and leave here with a better understanding of who you are. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe that if the world knew the story, the real story behind Christmas, there would be no non-believers. This morning, I want you to capture the real story. I want you to grasp it. I want this story to give you, as Courtney would say, God bumps. Because you are so excited and that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you that you get those little bumps all over you. You know how your hair raises up when God does something kind of wonderful in your life? That's what we want this morning. I want you leaving here this morning saying, wow, my God is awesome. Church, are you ready? This is not going to be your typical Christmas morning service. I got to warn you. So here we go. Each of the gospel writers have a different view of Jesus. They tell it a little bit differently. Matthew, for example, tells the birth of Jesus by beginning with his genealogy. He wants us to understand and wants people to know that Jesus fits the mold of the prophecies made in the Old Testament, that he would be born through the lineage of David. And so when you look at that lineage, it goes back. And Matthew wants you to know that, yes, he fits the mold. He is the one. He is the Messiah by looking at his genealogy. Mark does something a little bit different. He begins his gospel not at the birth of Christ, but at his baptism. And he talks about how John the Baptist was prophesied in the Old Testament, that he would be the one that would come, who would prepare the way for the Lord, and would tell others that he is coming, and then when he came, he presented the Lord to the world. So, Mark looks at it a little bit differently. Then Luke. Luke does an exhaustive study. Luke even says he wanted to make sure that he believed himself before he passed on his understanding of Jesus to his friend Theophilus. He begins with Mary's account, with the angel and being told that she was with child. And he then tells us that Mary goes to Joseph and tells him that she's pregnant. Mary and Joseph were not married yet. They were engaged. But in that time, it was the same thing as being married. When you were engaged, the husband would go away for as much as a year to prepare a home. Then he would come back, get his bride, and take her to the house where they would live. So it was just like being married. But this is where it gets really real for me in this story. Think about Joseph. I want you to put your feet in Joseph's shoes. Would you believe Mary? I can see Joseph now. Come on, Mary. I'm not a doctor, but I know where babies come from. Just tell me the truth. Joseph doesn't believe her. We are told that he decides to spare her. Spare her from stoning, because during that time, if you committed an adulterous act, you were liable to be stoned. So what Scripture says is that he decided that he would not have her stoned, that he would take her, and he would privately, secretly take her away, divorce her, spare her all the embarrassment. And I can see that. Can you see that? He feels like she's lied to him, that she's been unfaithful. But now, something miraculous would have had to have happened for Joseph to change his mind. And what we find out from Luke is that Joseph has a dream, and in that dream an angel comes to him. He tells him that Mary is telling him the truth and that he should take her as his wife. Once again, this is where it gets real for me. For if I were in Joseph's shoes, Mary wouldn't have had a history. She'd have had no marriage, no home, a divorce, see ya, goodbye. But something miraculous happened. Joseph had an encounter with an angel of the Lord, and he knew at that point that Mary was no longer lying to him, that she was telling him the truth. Now, there's one other gospel account that we've not talked about. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and what? John looks at Jesus totally different than anyone else. Now, I want you to know that I was going to preach on this gospel of John and how he looks at Jesus. And as I was getting and doing the preparation, I have to tell you, I was looking at the first scripture, and John 1:1 says, in the beginning, right, was the Word. Well, I decided, man, somebody might ask me, what does the beginning mean? So I started doing some really deep studying on in the beginning. Are you ready? Church, are you ready? You're going to be wowed this morning through God's Word. God's Word is so powerful. So powerful. I want you to look at two scriptures this morning. I want you to tell me what these two scriptures have in common. Here's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What's common in these two scriptures? Why in the world would John 1:1 begin his recollection of Jesus within the beginning? This morning we're going to have a Hebrew lesson, because the word in the beginning is Bereshit in Hebrew. But I got to tell you, there is no the in the Hebrew language. So when we're looking at Scripture, it really reads in Hebrew, in beginning, comma, God created, not in the beginning. That looks like it just started. God's always been, always will be. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. He's the beginning, he's the end. Here it's in beginning, God created, not in the beginning. It's Bereshit. All right, pull it up. There it is. Anybody want to read it for me? Do you know which way you read in Hebrew? Left to right. So you're going this way. So what you see below these Hebrew characters, the Hebrew alphabet, is Bet, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yod, or Yod, and Tau. That is the letters, much like our cat, C-A-T. That's what these are. This is the Hebrew alphabet. And the way that you say it is Bet, Resh, Shi, Bereshit. So that's how it looks like in beginning. In beginning. Bereshit. In beginning. Does that mean anything to anybody? No. But it will, I think. Lord, help us. All right, go to the second slide. With every Hebrew character, there is a symbol. There are 22 Hebrew characters in their alphabet. And for every character, there is a symbol or a picture, if you will, of what that character means. So if you look at this particular one, the very first one is a tent. Forgive my drawing. The second one is a head. The next one is a triangle, if you will, with a slash through it. The next one looks like a W, but it's teeth. The next one is a hand, an arm. See the arm coming down? It goes out. You see the hand? And the next one is nothing but a T. So Bet, picture for Bet is a tent or a home, a house. The picture for Resh is a head. The picture for Aleph is this triangle that makes you look like that God is going into the future, that the past is behind, that triangle is moving toward the left, pointing toward the left. The next word is shin. It is teeth. The next word is yod. It is a hand. And the last word is tau, and it is nothing more than just a T. Okay? Got it? Got it? Man, y'all lying to your preacher here on Christmas Eve morning. All right, now you're going to get it. For real. Are you ready? This is so powerful. The same words that John used in 1:1 is the same words that Moses used to begin the Bible, in the beginning or in beginning. So when you look at that first letter, bet, it means house. You look at the second letter, it means head. Who is the head of the house of Israel? Who is the head of the house of Israel? Yahshua, Jesus. And when you take the first two letters of bet and resh and put them together, it means bar, and in Hebrew, bar means what? You can see it right there. Son. Okay. Powerful. I'm telling you, it's going to get good. It's going to get good. Now look at Aleph. Aleph, that the one in the middle looks like an X, that is the symbol for God. It means strength. It means Almighty. It is the letter for God. All right, now, look at the next one. That shin is a picture of teeth. And it stands for devouring. A shin was used when Moses saw the burning bush, remember? Moses goes up to this bush and it's burning. It was a shin. It was on fire. It was being devoured. But here, that word also tells you something about the nature of God. Did that bush burn up? No. So it says that God is strength and he's almighty, but he's also merciful. Then look at the next little dot. See that little squiggly line? Yod, it is a hand. And I want to show you something. The yod is the smallest character in the Hebrew alphabet. When Jesus said not one jot or tittle will pass from the law, he used the word yod. Now I want to show you something about God. Yahshua, what does it start with? Yod. Yahweh, what does it start with? Yod. Yod is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, yet God uses it to begin his name. Does that tell you something about the character of God? Of his humbleness? Awesome. Now, then the last letter is Ta, and it just stands for a T. Okay? Have you got it? Have you put it together yet? No? Okay. Neither have I. Here we go. You got the head of the house is who? Jesus. Or the Son. The Son is the next is God. So the Son of God, you got it? The Son of God, the teeth, the Son of God is devoured by what? The hand of God, where? On the cross. You got it? Those are real figures or pictures that go along with the characters that mean in beginning. And it gets better. It gets better. Have y'all got that? Anybody got that? Who is the head of the house of Israel? Yahshua. Jesus. He's the Son of God, devoured by the hand of God on the cross. In beginning, Jesus was always there. In the beginning, he was there. In the beginning of the creation of the world, he was there. Why? Because he created the world. There was nothing that was created that wasn't created by him. Isn't that beautiful? Do you see this, what's going on? And it gets better. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Look, John understood what was going on by the pictograph that was going. From the beginning, Jesus was God, and he was with God. In the beginning was the Word. Now, the Word, I didn't put this together, but the Word, the Hebrew word for Word is Milah. And if you look at it pictorially, the letters and the pictures below it, Mem means water or blood. Lomed means shepherd. He means to reveal. So the word that pictorially describes the word is the blood of the shepherd has been revealed. Man, you all look like it's like, ooh, this is, anybody got this? Everybody got this? Every character in the Hebrew alphabet has a picture associated with it. And when you put those pictures with that alphabet, it paints us a picture. Jesus, the Son of God, devoured by God's hand on the cross. In the beginning, the Word, the blood of the shepherd has now been revealed. Jesus, the Son of God, been devoured by the hand on the cross, and now the blood of the shepherd has been revealed. In the beginning was the Word. Do you see how it all fits together there? John uses the very same in the beginning as Moses did when he wrote Genesis. The Son of God will be devoured by the hand of God on the cross, and the blood of the shepherd will be revealed. Isn't that beautiful? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, John saw the real deal. Man, he got it. And he's calling right now to let us know what's going on. He saw the Son of God. He saw the Son of God be devoured by the hand of God on the cross. He saw the blood of the shepherd, but he also saw the shepherd who had resurrected from the dead as he said he would. No wonder the disciples never denied the resurrection happened. Look at all the information they had before them pointing to who Jesus was. They knew exactly who he was. They knew it from the word, the Hebrew word. They knew it from the pictures, from the Hebrew language. They knew it because they saw God in the flesh and they saw him bleed, die, and resurrect. And they never stopped preaching about Jesus. You see, this is the real story of Christmas. It's all through the Bible. God has come among us, shed his blood among us, died among us, resurrected among us, and is still among us today. And he is the most incredible gift you will ever receive. Look at 1 Timothy again. I love this scripture. This is great. This scripture speaks to me. That it? There's one more. I'll read it to you. Here is the trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He's talking about me. But for that reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Oh, God has given me so much patience. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is the best gift I've ever received. He took a dirty sinner. He made him a child of God. He taught me how to love my wife, how to love my family, my kids, my friends like I've never loved before. I didn't know what love was until God took me and got a hold of me. He's given me peace and confidence that I could do all things through Christ. He's given me a purpose in life, which is living for him. I have learned that without him, I am nothing. I believe in the virgin birth, that God came among us, shed his blood, died, resurrected, and still lives among us today. And I believe that if the world knew the real Christmas story, there would be no non-believers. Because in beginning, the Word was with God and was God, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. So you've had your Hebrew lesson for this morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much and thank you. Your word is so powerful. Your history is so powerful. In fact, history is his story. It's your story. It's all about you and your plans. We just praise you this morning and love you. And Lord, we just thank you for loving us. And Lord, happy birthday. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hold on just a second. Chuck, you want to come on real quick?
I just wanted to talk to y'all today and tell y'all about what just the power of our Lord, of Christ. He does miracles every day, and I just right here is Debbie, and just a couple of weeks ago, she didn't have a home. Angela, about a month ago, it was right before Thanksgiving, contacted me, and Debbie and her son Lance, and Lance is blind. He can't. They were living in Hermitage on the street, and Angela and a lot of Christians, just God's power was working to help her find a home and to find one for her. About 2 weeks ago, there's a lady, Brittany, that she was trying to help Lance get his identification. They had property stolen from them, and he didn't have an identification or any ID. So she went and helped him get the ID, and actually within a few hours, just on the same day, God provided a home for him. She called me up and said, Chuck, it's a Christmas miracle. She was working she's working within the community to try to find a home for them, and thought it was going to probably take, you know, weeks or months to be able to find a place for Debbie and Lance to live. And they have a home now. It's fully furnished now. The Lord just provides. It's just amazing that God's power is just amazing. This made me think of Brother Mike had a sermon a couple weeks ago about God answering prayers, because we prayed with Debbie. I know there were a lot of people praying for her. I know she was praying. I know there was a lot of people, really Christians, praying for her, and God listens. And I want to read this out of 1 John 5:21, and these are there was a on one of our sermons a few weeks back that this really kind of showed me the power of God again. It says, this is 1 John's writing. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So you believe in the name Yeshua, which is the name of our Lord, the name of the Son of God. So Jesus, believe in the name of Jesus that you will have you have eternal life. And then it says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So when we pray according to his will, we can have confidence that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, and whatever we ask, we may know that the request that we have asked of him. And so that's where the faith comes in, which I'm going to just be honest with y'all. My faith is not always what it should be. Like Abraham and Sarah, when they were told they were going to, you know, have a child at an elderly age, Sarah laughed. And so Isaac's name is He Laughs. We've been studying that in Genesis. I thought that that if God provided, it was probably going to take weeks. And when Brittany called and said it was before Christmas, which is what Debbie was praying for. She prayed with us and prayed that she just wanted a place to a home to live in for Christmas. And God provided. And it's just a blessing that he hears us and he loves us. And we owe it all to Jesus. Jesus, it's what he's done for us and what he does for us every day is just, it should humble all of us. And
yeah. I just want to say something. If the Lord ever lays it upon your heart to give to somebody and they're sitting on the corner or standing, and if he tells you to go, I'm telling you, go. You will receive a blessing. When I saw her and her son, God told me to turn the car around. And I turned the car around that day. And ever since that day, I've been praying for her and her son to find a home, to get them out of the weather and to give them food and comfort. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I just want to let you know that God will answer your prayers if you seek him, trust him, and always listen to him and always have the right heart attitude. And I thank God for giving Debbie and Lance a home.
And one last thing. She came this morning and said she really wanted a Christmas tree for Christmas. She's going home with a Christmas tree and a nativity scene.
Thank you, Jesus, for everything that's given.